H-1B visa lottery results are in. Were you among the few selected? If you weren't successful, lucky for you, our friends at Mob Squad have a solution. If you work in tech with an expiring U.S. work visa, Mob Squad can help you stay in North America. In just 4 weeks, they can get a work permit for you and your family and relocate you to Canada, where you'll continue to support your company. Get in touch at mobsquad.io/blindambition. Hey, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Blind Ambition with Jack Kelly. It's your friend, Rick from Blind, and today I'm going to introduce you all to Ben Morse, who's a product manager at ZocDoc. Ben earned a bachelor's degree in computer science and music at Harvard, followed by a doctorate in music composition at the University of California, Davis. Blending a life in music with a living in tech, he has worked as a software engineer for companies like the New York Times. He was also previously a product manager at Google in charge of advanced capabilities in the Chrome browser. For those of you that don't know, ZocDoc is the leading healthcare marketplace that aims to help every patient find and book every type of care. Each month, millions of patients use ZocDoc to find quality in-network doctors, see their real-time availability, and instantly book appointments for in-person or virtual care. Thanks for coming on the show, Ben.
Sure.
Can you walk us through your career?
My career is unusual and maybe complicated and maybe twisty and turny, but it's what I did. I did get a computer science degree in college, but somewhere in there, I kind of figured I was actually better at music than at computers, and I got more and more excited about being more of an artist. I'd grown up in a family of scientists, and I liked math and physics, and that was the way that everyone went in our family, but I started to realize I'm kind of good at music in all these ways. Like, all the classes here are kind of easy for me. I can analyze music really well. And so I couldn't figure out what to do with myself in college. And I finally decided to finish college, finish the computer science degree, make sure I had this possible like degree for a job someday, then to go off and go to art school and try doing music for a year. I moved to California. And once I got there, I was like, I'm an artist. This is cool. Forget the whole computer thing. And I transitioned from this Harvard graduate in computer science who'd been a Microsoft intern, had this easy career path, to this guy who went to art school, dropped out of art school, spent some years in Berkeley being an activist and playing in punk bands. So a career transition, you might say. And then I missed learning about music, so I went back to graduate school, still playing in rock bands. I moved to Sacramento, California, and I got my doctorate in music composition at UC Davis. I met a girl. We liked each other. She was in the theater, and we moved to New York, and she got started directing shows in New York, and I started doing musical theater in New York. So again, not doing any computer stuff except for odd jobs here and there to pay the bills. And then I got a job actually as a music professor at a small college called Concordia College in Bronxville, New York. After a couple of years there, I actually missed being in tech. So I started working at startups and learned how to program all over again from scratch. By then, I almost couldn't find a job as a programmer anymore because my skills had gotten stale pretty quickly, but I managed to get a job at a startup part-time and then was still doing music and working part-time. And finally, in 2012, decided to actually get a full-time job again as a programmer. A couple years later, I was surprised to find myself working at AOL, surprised that recruiters started writing to me from places like Facebook at the time, not Meta back then, and Google, not Alphabet, and asked me to interview. And I had not really thought I could become a programmer at these places, but I also didn't want to program anymore all the time. I like working with and being around people. They kept asking recruiters what kind of jobs they had that weren't just like programming jobs. And Google had one called a customer solutions engineer. I was working with people in sales to help get the big ad clients solutions they needed to make them happy with their ad experiences and invent things they could do. So I applied for this job. To my surprise, I actually got the job. And to my big surprise, I got a job at Google, where I then positioned jobs a few different times, from customer solutions engineer to ad solutions engineer to a job actually in sales, working on mobile sites. I call myself a mobile evangelist, so working as a developer advocate for a thing called AMP and also for the web in general, from there to a product manager on Chrome, and finally ran out of things to do, and got myself a job at ZocDoc a month ago. I'm still doing music.
You know, I'm curious, Ben and Rick, is there a connection between music and being a coder or software developer? Because I haven't seen a lot, but I have seen some people who overlap. Is that unique or do you see this, Ben, a lot?
I mean, as you know, it's pretty common. Actually, at Google NYC, I kind of ran a group that advocated for more music facilities for Googlers in New York. We organized ourselves, got funding for some nice music stuff, and organized various events for Googlers who are into music. Before, I would have told you that for me, the connection was I'm into structure, and I love the structure of music, and also the structure in computer code, other kinds of things I'm into, like linguistics or history. But then I realized at some point that music for most people isn't really about structure, it's about emotions and about cultural meaning. So I'm working very hard on understanding that better because I've got a math brain. So for me, it was the math and music that excited me, not the music and music. But for whatever reason, a lot of folks do end up playing instruments or writing some music who are coders, and also vice versa.
I want to go back to, what did your parents say, if you don't mind my asking, when you said, you know what, I'm not going to be a coder. Well, what's wrong with
wonderful
you?
Son, we're so proud of you. No, they didn't. They didn't see computers as a good idea either, because by the time I was into computers, it wasn't the most common job. They thought I should be doing math and science. They hated that I got into like playing in bands, and they still don't really understand what I'm doing with that.
Was there a turning point where you're like, okay, now I got to get, I'm, you know, such and such age, I got to make stuff happen. And that's when you put it into maybe overdrive and say, all right, I'll still do music on the side, but now I got to really get things going because maybe I want to get married, have kids, have a family, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you're exactly right. At a certain point, I started to have friends who had actual jobs and had like things like new cars. I had no money ever. I never had an actual job. And I thought, I could have done that, couldn't I? And then there was a point where I met my now wife. We moved to California. I was going to go back to programming. We didn't. We moved to New York, kept on doing the arts together. I was getting older. And again, we had neighbors who didn't always respect us, especially in New York City. We couldn't afford to live in nice places. And there were those who respected us and those who didn't. I kept thinking, did I miss the boat here completely on being a computer programmer or something? And then we had a child, and I thought, okay, I got to do something here. My wife is actually still a theater director, and she's really great. She runs a theater company in New Jersey and does wonderful things for the community and for the arts. But I'm kind of the person who got the more conventional job.
Can you walk us through the experience of rediscovering coding and programming and getting back into tech? Because it seems like throughout your career, you've done it part-time, got in full-time. You've moved around from startup to startup. Can you share how that worked out for you?
Yeah, it was a really rocky path. There was not a direct path from A to B. Now that I'm here, it feels like there was one, and the bio implies that there was, but there were a lot of times where I thought, I could never, ever do this. Many, many times over a course of many years. So as a kid, I was obsessed with computers. I just loved computers. I loved programming. I thought it was the coolest thing. I was just that kind of kid. And then at a certain point in high school, that stopped being the case. And I, you know, got the computer science degree, and I kind of liked writing code, but it wasn't as fun anymore for me. So when I dropped that, good. You know, I'm actually supposed to be a musician, not a programmer. Then I remember being a music professor for the brief time that I was a music professor, and looking at websites. I made a site for my band a couple of years before that, so I knew a new HTML, a little bit of CSS, but I was looking at these things in these sites. I didn't know what they were. And looking at this stuff, I would see it when I saw view source, and I thought, I'm missing out on all this stuff that's changing in the world. And, you know, I'm missing the boat here completely in this. So I wanted to get back into it, and eventually did quit my professor job and got part-time jobs coding. Finally, my wife being a good writer wrote me a really great like letter that got me a job at a startup, which honestly shouldn't have hired me, but they did. I just learned PHP and then some JavaScript and more CSS just by working there because I could pick things up on the fly. And then from there, I was able to get other kinds of jobs like that. But there's lots of dead ends. I applied for lots of jobs that are startups, which were just like terrible. A couple of guys, there's always a couple of guys like in the apartment somewhere working on some strange project and not paying very much or anything. I finally learned how to get the right kind of jobs, the right kinds of people, so I could learn skills that would get me, you know, feel like I was actually a programmer again. I didn't know if I could do it anymore, honestly, for a long time. It turned out that actually I ended up at Google. So it turned out it was possible. It just took a lot of, like most things I've experienced in life, a lot of trying things, sometimes succeeding, often failing, sometimes even giving up. And then a couple of days later saying, well, I could try that again.
But that non-traditional route, how did you get into Google? Because from my understanding, it's super hard to get in there. And you probably didn't have the background that a lot of other people had.
Yeah, it's pretty surprising that I got in there at all. I think the key with this was that at some point I realized that there were these recruiters out there looking for programmers of any kind. And when I figured that out, I put my resume out into the recruiter areas And then I had to figure out that a lot of recruiters were kind of sketchy. That was somebody across the world finding some sort of listing somewhere else and saying, I have this part-time job, and not to make fun of New Jersey where I live, in Jersey City or in somewhere, you know, some other non-tech hub place where you can make a small salary doing something kind of random. Find the right recruiters, work with them, leverage recruiters to, you know, I've interviewed at these places over here. I tell other recruiters these things, they want to be interested in me, and just kind of build on things like that, and then build on finally like small salary offers to get better salary offers, and to get a job at the New York Times 2012, which was a real programming job. Then when I left there, I worked at AOL for a year, and again, recruiters just found me again. I had applied for Google once before as software engineer, and I did not make it. It turns out a lot of people who were there apply a few times before they actually get in. I know one guy who's really a central part of the developer advocate team there who applied probably 4 or 5 times and kept on failing. Finally, he applied again and he got a job. Once you're in, you're in. So I think for me, it was a matter of finding the job I was most qualified for, where I wasn't the most super programmer in the world. I didn't know all the stuff that people knew, but I knew a lot of stuff. And I could show that I could solve problems. And I also had some people skills I developed over the years, which I did not come to the world with really. I learned doing music and other kinds of things, skills about getting projects done, you know, being ambitious about difficult projects, working with people, talking with people. I think that combination of things was enough to get me the job.
That makes a lot of sense to me, because I feel like on Blind, I certainly see folks tend to start with a goal and they almost go through their career trying to get through a checklist in terms of, oh, well, if I build up these skills, or if I earn these titles, or if I have these certifications or names on my resume, that's my way of unlocking the biggest, the next best thing, which for some folks might be Google. But it seems like, no, if it's actually about your hard skills, your interest, finding that right role, then these great things can naturally happen.
That's my opinion now. It wasn't before, but yeah, I've done things myself in ways that are quite circuitous. They've worked out sometimes, which is nice, but I was the same way. I was like, I'm going to have a goal. I'm going to be like a great composer. I would go to libraries and see like, here's Beethoven's works, here's Bach's works, all in these books, and think that's going to be me. I know how to do it. I have these 5 steps I'm going to take to get to that point. It didn't really work out at all. Like, I did some good stuff in music. I had some successes, but in general, it wasn't what I wanted in the end. I was playing in other people's bands and played them on some big albums and had some successes in my own bands and wrote some pretty good music, but I wasn't a stunning composer, I didn't think. And then I thought, well, maybe that was the wrong idea after all. And when I got to back to programming, I just thought, I'm just going to do what I can do well and see what people around me want me to do more things and find what they think I can do for them and what I also enjoy doing. It's like, I enjoy doing these things. People want these things. Here's the intersection. And keep my eyes open for new opportunities. So at Google, when I got there, I realized after a while that I was not in the most blessed part of the company. Even in 2014, Google, well, there were places where it was like the Google everyone knows, where people were independent and free and pursued their passion and projects, and a Google of hierarchy and assignments. I was more in the second one than the first one. I was somewhere in between. And I thought, if I just do things that are pretty good, and then kind of keep my eyes open for other opportunities and people might discover what I'm doing, it's possible that they'll help me get other jobs at Google, which is how I got to do other more glorified jobs at Google from where I was.
I mean, on that point, is it something about these large organizations where the reality is different from the perception, right? Because, I mean, to your point, it seems like, oh, wow, this is the Google that we read about in all those like amazing news articles. And then your lived experience was maybe a bit more realistic or a bit more gritty, we could even say. Is there something to that?
Or all organizations have more or less exciting places, and Google's like that too. It was a pretty cool place. I think it's also the case that people who want to find people for joining their teams, finding a good person is pretty hard. So if you can be the person who has what they want, even if your background's a bit different, if they see that in you, that's pretty exciting, because you can look for a person for a job for 6 months and not find that person at all.
This episode of The Blind Ambition with Jack Kelly is brought to you by BetterHelp. For anyone out there who needs to hear this, you are more than your job. Don't get us wrong. Passion for your work is great, but it's so important to find joy, fulfillment, and validation in your life as a whole, not just at work.
and therapy can help you get there. We all go through ups and downs in our career. Maybe you're thinking about switching career paths, or you're feeling super burned out in your job. You might be struggling with the uncertainty of our current economy, or trying to manage the anxiety that can come up during the job interview process. Whatever it is, you're not alone, and therapy can help. Therapy gives you a place to talk through what's going on at work in a safe and supportive environment, figure out what goals you have for your life and career, and build the confidence to go out and make them happen. Otherwise, it's easy to stick at the same old, even if it's not making you happy. If you're interested in giving therapy a try, BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy on a flexible week-to-week schedule so you can fit it into your day. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get started, then BetterHelp will match you with a licensed therapist based on your needs, preferences, and goals. Connect with your therapist by text, phone, or video call. Start the process in minutes and switch therapists anytime. Elevate your work and your life with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/teamblind for 20% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/teamblind for 20% off your first month.
So Ben, how did you then segue to being a product manager?
Happened because I was a developer advocate, which I really enjoyed in general, although it was pretty grueling. I did a lot of traveling, which was, I thought, really eye-opening and exciting. I was doing pretty well. I got promoted twice in that job, and it was going nicely. In 2020, I had a big plan to take these conferences all around the world, and I actually had booked a 3-city tour of Pakistan with people I'd met there, booked events in Sri Lanka and somewhere else, also quite interesting. And then people began discussing the strange virus that was happening, and I'd recruited people to go with me, and they started saying, I don't want to travel right about now. And then a week later, of course, everything stopped. So my tickets to Pakistan never got used. And I started doing events at home, running these learning events where I would work with Google developer groups, which are these groups around the world that Google sponsors of people who want to learn things, and Google developer experts, and work with them to run various training programs. They went really well. People seemed to like them. We got great feedback on them. But I would talk to all these people, and we chat about their lives and programming and other things, and turn off the camera and be by myself again in this room. And I realized that I wasn't really involved in things anymore that really were changing the world in some positive way. I wanted to do that somehow. And I thought, well, okay, if I could work in climate change maybe, or something else like healthcare, that would be nice. But I don't want to be an engineer in those kinds of jobs. What could I do that I would be able to do? And developer advocate jobs I saw around Google weren't jobs I was interested in except for my job. And other companies, developer advocate jobs, more like working for a new blockchain company. Did not want to get involved in cryptocurrency. So I thought, wait, I always wanted to be a product manager. Maybe I should be a product manager. I've always wanted to try that, but I was afraid of it because I really work very long hours. They have meetings all day and work all night. I talked to a couple of friends of mine who were PMs, and they said, no, if you do it right, you can kind of do it within 40 hours a week. So it's possible to have a normal life and be a product manager. I decided to try it out. And at Google, what you can do is you can have a rotation in another job if you can find a team that wants you to try it out. So you can just, your team can sponsor the headcount for you to move to a different team for 3 or 6 months, or perhaps a new team will sponsor your headcount. And you can try out a different job for a little while. And then you actually have the leverage to then apply for that job or a similar job because you've experienced the job. So I wanted to get a job as a product manager at a rotator. I couldn't find anything for a while, but I really persisted. Still couldn't find anything because everyone else wanted to do what I was doing. A lot of folks wanted to be product managers, it turned out. Finally, actually, I knew a director who was a friend, and I talked to him, and he said, oh yeah, you talk to so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so, they'll find you something. And so they did immediately. So I had experience on the web already and became a rotator on Chrome. Did that for 6 months. It worked out pretty well, it seemed like. Then I went through the interview process for a product manager at Google, which was, to me, insanely complicated and difficult. I studied for it for about 6 weeks. Didn't do much else but that. I did 15 practice interviews, probably maybe 20 practice interviews. And then I passed the interviews and was able to get a job as a product manager. So I thought, this is great. Product manager now. I have this wonderful job.
At Google, the product manager interviews are quite technical, right? So you're often going through system design and architecture even, and some roles. So I imagine your background as an engineer, as a coder, probably helped in that regard, where perhaps other external candidates would have had a harder time.
It helped for Chrome. For other jobs, it might not be quite as important. There's a book about this, how to apply for product manager jobs. I think it's called Cracking the PM Interview. This is the exact book you'd have to use to study for a Google Meta, Apple, some other products, manage your job. Yeah, certain kinds of questions. There's like a certain kind of art to what you have to do and persona you have to take on during the questions. I found it to be an interesting exercise to learn how to do this, answer questions in certain kinds of ways. If they ask a question like, improve healthcare, you don't just say, well, I could do this. I could maybe like have, I don't know, socialized medical care, have doctors have, you know, more empathy or something. You have to think through this problem in detail, analyze it in certain ways, think about user segments and do like a 10-minute long answer. And then you have some sort of product you could build as a product manager at a certain company, as a certain person to make this happen. It's quite a process. It took me a while to learn this process. But one of the interviews does involve technical knowledge, but it's kind of light on technical knowledge. And some folks who have had no programming background were able to pass this interview and do a good enough job at other interviews that they could say, well, you know, obviously they don't really understand load balancing that well, but they're probably good enough to have a product manager job at this particular position. It helps to have a technical background more than most companies, but not as much as one might think it would. Like the New York Times, product managers had to have an MBA, I think, and didn't have to have any kind of technical background. That may have changed since I was there. At Google, an MBA will help you in certain areas, but not all areas. When I made my my resume up for product managers looking for a job recently, I started putting in, after a while, things like my music activities, because I spent a lot of time working on basically music startups, like against incredible odds, trying to think, where's a good product market fit for what we're going to do over here? How do we make this musical or this band? I think people are going to want to actually, you know, pay money to see or have an audience for. But like you said, I think when I got to Google, one of my goals was to develop other kinds of skills and develop more of my people side. I think I've gotten better at that sort of thing. Like I wasn't very good at explaining technical concepts to non-technical people. I didn't have the kinds of flexibility I have now, but I worked with people in sales for a couple of years and I admired the way that they were able to not sell you stuff. They were able to understand how products worked, explain to the clients, if you do remarketing, you might see $4 million extra a year. So maybe you should try this thing. I feel like this is more, for me, self-actualizing, trying to use some of the skills. Arguably, I was more suited for being a developer advocate in certain ways because that involves more performance. When I got on stage, at first I couldn't give talks at all, but I learned that it was not unlike getting a performance. Although when you're discussing code, you're not like, everybody, you must go do this thing. Everyone run, you know, or grab this flag and wave it in the air. It's more about trying to explain code, but still, being aware of the audience and being with them all the time and following them and bringing them along with you. I think those things are all helpful.
For folks who might not have the traditional background and want to get into product management, you've mentioned that different industries or different companies have different profiles for what it takes to be a product manager or what they might prefer to hire. Do you have any tips in terms of how do I kind of self-identify or how do I find those industries or those companies where there'd be a mutual fit there?
That's a really important question. And I wish I had a better answer for you than what I'm going to say. A lot of folks asked me this question on LinkedIn. My post went viral. I got 5 million, 6 million views. People started saying, I want to be a product manager. How do I do that? And I thought, I have no idea because I just kept trying to do it until I was doing it, but I didn't really have a background in being a product manager. If I'd applied at a different company to be a product manager, they would have said no because I had no experience at it. I had to get experience at it to get a job. Even then, when I applied for jobs as a product manager, it was pretty hard to find one. I had to really, really persist in order to find my job at ZocDoc. But what I can say is the prior experience helps you get hired. So if you've managed a product in some way, it's helpful. So for example, one problem I had in my interviews is that at Chrome, we didn't launch very much because Chrome is very cautious and very big. We weren't changing Chrome all the time every couple of minutes. Changes were very gradual. So I ended up pulling back to prior experience at other jobs at Google or even other places where I had done things that were like, found there was a product need of some sort and helped design a product of some sort in some other job at Google or prior jobs and gotten things done as a product manager would get done. And I think that also, like you were saying, also like Jack, it's the kind of thing where if you have a certain kind of people skills, people want that a lot. They want to see how you can have a certain kind of authority about you, hopefully. Maybe this shouldn't be important, but it often is. And have the ability to communicate with people across different kinds of areas and bring folks together in a coalition. So people from different areas of a company can all agree to do the same thing and all align on what's important. A lot of analytical skills also and analyzing situations and figuring out what should be done given what there is. There are certainly skills to that. I think prior experience, unfortunately, is the best way to get a product manager job.
Right. And but that could also be, to your point, not necessarily experience having been a product manager, but in that industry, in that discipline, in terms of just almost having that awareness of what the product does or what the market is out there, or the understanding of the target customer segment. Even.
Yeah, knowing what users might want who are, I mean, in tech, knowing the market, knowing the companies and the players out there now, knowing the current trends, what's happening. I mean, the obvious things like, oh, AI is a thing now, but even beyond that, like, why is it a thing? Where will that matter? When will it matter? Thinking about, oh yeah, LLMs, chatbots, but of course, that's the thing that's happening now. In 2 years, it might be a whole different thing that's the craze in AI. Probably will be, because everyone's working on this now. So those things all matter. And then a certain kind of persona. Some people aren't well suited for the job because they don't have the kind of persona. They don't want to be in lots of meetings with people. They want to write up long documents. You have to want to do certain kinds of things.
No, that makes a lot of sense. I want to kind of look back throughout your entire career. Was there a particular kind of promotion that you're most proud of that was the most challenging to earn? And how did you earn that?
The product manager job was the hardest thing I ever did. And I got lucky in some ways that I was able to keep my current level when I made the transition and not get down level, which often happens. But that was a big deal. I think though I was most successful there probably as a developer advocate. I was pretty good at that. I learned to give talks and run conferences and run things. And I got promoted there a couple of times. And like it was going pretty well.
Looking through the kind of jungle gym of your career, is there any kind of theme or advice that you want to share on to the folks that are listening to the podcast right now?
I love the phrase jungle gym that you just used. I guess I'm lucky because most people in the world haven't got the luxury to just change jobs again and again. They've got to support themselves and support their families, you know, and be able to live. Unfortunately, I was brought up middle class, and then, you know, I was able to keep on going for a while on small salaries because I lived cheaply for a long time. I guess for me, if I don't keep on learning, I just can't keep on doing what I'm doing. I can't make myself do it. And there's a lot of honor in getting a job somewhere, a stable job, and being able to support yourself and support your family and having a good life that way. Envy people that can do that. Envy those who have caught up on all the latest TV shows and movies also, and have a lot of leisure time. I just can't do it. I've tried. I mean, I have to keep on always trying new things. And for me, what's so exciting is getting into a world where I don't know what's going on at all. And I have to figure out what's going on, figure out how to do things. Like, one thing I love about my developer advocate job is that I got to be a developer advocate in August 2017. And after a week or so, my manager, Paul Bacco, said, hey, there's this conference in Poland happening, Google Developer Days. I can't do it. You want to go there and give a talk for 1,000 people in Poland? Like in 3 or 4 weeks. And I said, yes, I do. I did it. And it could have been better, but it was good enough. And I got better at it. And there was this trust people had, just, you know, people just try things and do things. So for me, I love to just jump in and try something new, which can be terrifying. Actually, it can be something which is not as glamorous. Like I sang songs in public for a long time. Didn't like how I was doing it very much. I stopped doing it and I came back to it in the last year. I took vocal lessons for 3 years and I, 2 months ago, did my first solo show. I learned again how to play piano and sing and play guitar and sing songs in a different kind of way. Brought this to a small cafe here in Little Falls, New Jersey. I was terrified. I was just thinking, why did I do this? They're going to think I'm an idiot. They're going to hate me. They're going to laugh at me the entire time. But I wanted to do it. I got there. It could have been better, but they didn't laugh at me or hate me. There were some good things that happened. It was a good stepping stone. And for me, that was just a valuable experience that throwing myself in there again, even though it's not really for any obvious career purpose. I want to be able to do this thing. This would be a good thing to be able to do for the world and for me or for whatever reason. So that's the way that I do it. I'm not saying it's a good way to do it for anybody else. For me, constant learning and constantly trying new things, spending my non-work hours also doing the same stuff is just how I do it.
It seems to have worked. And I really appreciate that reminder of courage, that it can be the little things that can build into huge things that can propel your entire career. So thanks for coming on the show, Ben.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for all your interesting questions and your own insights.
Pleasure. Thank you so much. This was great.
That's it for The Blind Ambition. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a 5-star rating and a review. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.